I'm early by my phone. Oh.
No, you're good.
Okay, call the meeting in order for the Wilmer Planning Commission for July 18th, 2018. Would be our approval or minutes from June 20th meeting that you were mailed, and everybody's read them page by page, word by word. And I'll entertain a motion.
So moved.
Got a motion to accept the minutes. I have a second.
Second.
Got a second. Okay. With that, I will call for a voice vote. Any discussion?
Yeah.
Okay. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, same sign. Passed. Okay. Twice. I'll put that down now.
You hold that for me.
All right. Why not? Yeah, these guys are getting me hard. Okay. Number three, we'll open a public hearing on the Community Christian School rezone R2 to government. Why can't I remember?
Government institution.
Yeah, government institution. Is there anyone here for the public hearing?
Can we introduce it?
Oh, I'm sorry. You got to introduce it first. Never mind.
No worries.
Let her introduce it first.
Before us, we've got a rezone request from Community Christian School, and we do have a representative, Steve Masseth, here from that project today. No new proposals for buildings or anything on site. Currently, simply the rezone of land. It sits kind of on the corner of 15th Street Southwest and 19th Avenue Southwest. It is currently zoned R2, and so they're looking at rezoning it to government institution, just for kind of a reflective use. Government, we kind of consider the oddball out when it comes to zoning, much more of that reflective use than the requirement for it to be continuous with other zones that are with other areas that are zoned government institution. In this particular case, the surrounding areas, it's on a pretty major street. Other surrounding areas are anything from one and two family residential to multifamily residential to limited business. They've been there for several years. And like I said, no new plans right now. Simply kind of making this change as needed. There might be some future things, looking at land and whatnot. So it was staff recommendation to the school to pursue this rezone for formality's sake.
Could you point it out on the map?
Yes. We are at, they actually own four lots. It's this corner lot, the lot where the majority of the school is, the lot directly east of them, and then they own this little out lot as well. So the rezone would be for all four of those parcels.
And at this point in time, which ones are industrial? Or none of them?
Nothing. They're all zoned R2 residential. So we're looking at rezoning them all to that government institution.
But there hasn't been houses on them. It hasn't been residential for a long time.
I don't think it ever was.
I don't think so.
Either. No.
No, I don't think it ever was.
How'd they ever get this school built on residential?
Any changes in tax status?
I don't believe so. Nope. It'll stay a private school.
Yeah, good question, Jeff. How did it ever get built on R2?
That's a good question.
Need a motion?
We have to do the hearing first.
Yeah. So any other, Steve, do you have anything to add? I saw you come in, so.
Not really. I mean, that summarizes it.
Pretty much.
Well.
Okay.
Pretty basic.
Yeah. So. I'll close the public hearing. took my mallet away. So then we will entertain a motion to rezone this to government institution.
I'll make the motion.
Do we have a second?
Second.
Okay, we have a motion and a second. Do we want to have any more discussion on that? Hearing none. This is a voice vote, so all in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, same sign. Motion passes. Okay, I see that other one, didn't I?
No, I think you did.
Did I?
Yep.
Okay. I'd be a little slow today. Okay, so, thank you, Steve.
Yeah, no, you should.
Thank you all for your service.
You get to come back in an hour, a little earlier then. No, that's okay.
You too.
Okay, number four. Now, we're looking at...
sign permits.
Sign permits for the Wilmer ALC, the middle school, and CCS sign permits.
As well as Jefferson Learning Center.
Yeah, Jefferson Learning Center.
We had that one added in there. So these four sign permits were presented to us. All of the lots that they are on are zoned government institution. You guys saw three of them last year in May for Wilmer Public Schools. For Lakeland, Kennedy, and Roosevelt, correct, I believe?
Yeah.
The normal standards for a sign in a government-zoned property is only 20 square feet with 8 feet height and 10-foot setbacks, which is far significantly smaller than any other zone that we have. And it's simply written into the ordinance that anything above that exceeds that limit just needs approval by Planning Commission. So in this case, we have a new sign for the Wilmer Middle School. The current Wilmer Middle School sign will move to the ALC and get a little facelift. And then the Jefferson Learning Center will get a new sign. And then Community Christian School is also looking at doing the same thing, kind of contingent on them finalizing that rezone to be government institution. But really, it's a consistency sake throughout the town for all of the schools. They're all very similar size. They're all very similar style. Gary from QuickSigns is here. He's putting them all together. That's what I've got for you on those.
Okay. So these all meet the size limit on these? Is that
they? No. So they exceed what the ordinance normally requires, but the ordinance only allows up to 20 square feet in a government institution zone.
Mm-hmm.
And because of the size of all of these parcels, I've noted on most of them that even if they're in, say, a residential area, a residential area allows up to 64 square feet for a sign. And in that case, the ones near those areas meet that requirement. So they don't meet the government institution requirement, but they meet the next smallest, which is residential.
These are the same size as like the Lakeland School and stuff
like
that. Yeah.
Yep.
Almost identical.
Yep.
Okay.
The ALC one is a little bit smaller. That one's more in a residential area. And the Jefferson Learning one as well.
Jefferson doesn't have the reader board on it, I see.
Right. Yeah, Jefferson, it's just that. Just the freestanding.
I knew once they started putting them up, every building I'm going to get one.
Mm-hmm.
Or two.
Yep.
Yeah.
I think it's a good way to keep people aware that there's a school in the area. Nice big sign.
Mm-hmm.
But we'll keep an eye on kids and things.
What's that?
Keeping a big sign so people can see right away.
The ALC one, is that going on right on the corner of Trot and 8th?
It's going to go right where the existing sign is, right on the corner.
That's what I don't remember. I drive by there every day and I don't remember what the sign is.
I probably drove by.
You might notice this one more because
I don't think they'll put it in the middle, in front of the building.
And then
the northeast corner of
the
lot. Yeah.
Okay. And then the Jefferson one is going where?
That would be on,
it's on that corner where you're earlier, isn't it?
Southeast corner of their lot.
Oops, I went too far, didn't I? Hold it right here.
On the what? Southeast corner?
In the front of the building?
Or
in
Jefferson. Right up here.
Yeah. across from the Catholic Church parking lot.
Okay. Well, see, actually, the one that's at the middle school got stolen away from Jefferson.
Oh.
It came from Washington.
So.
Yeah, that's right. It did, didn't it?
Washington.
Yeah, so that now these so now they're going to get it back. Now they're going to get it back.
Yeah, I like to be in.
We're trying to decide what to do there, and I say, hey, you can use it. We're going to put a different sign. We'll just use it one more time.
That's me.
I was kind of concerned, like this one was going to be to the on the north on the corner up north from there, and that was just I don't know how bright those are at night, but there was houses on the other corners. But you're way down there, so that's
you're talking about Jefferson.
Yeah. If it's
Jefferson.
Now, there's no leaderboard on that one.
Oh yeah, Jefferson.
Jefferson is not lighted.
Oh,
Jefferson's okay. Just
it's okay. Just an aluminum sign.
Are we preserving all the sight lines?
Yeah, and there's a park across the road.
Yeah. Yep.
So there isn't any housing.
Nope. Just if there's
just to add to that too, I think Sarah was before you came, but the board had approved signs in residential areas, and if they are in a residential area, then they have to be turned off at 10 o'clock.
Yep.
And so I tell all my customers who are in the residential, they can program them to shut off any kind of lock. Tell them to make sure they shut them off at 10 o'clock.
Yeah, good. Thank you. That's a good idea.
We went on the board and we approved that.
Timers.
Mm-hmm. Yep, and all of the signs that are in place now meet setbacks and visibility requirements, so I don't think there's any change to location on any of them. So.
Okay.
That's all good.
Anything more, Gary, you got to add?
No, basically it's almost identical to what we did last year.
Okay. So I will entertain a motion to allow these signs to be.
Just do them all at once, right?
Yep. You just do one motion to approve them all.
One motion to approve them all.
So seconded.
Who motioned? Is your motion?
I was asking him a question, but
did you make the motion?
So moved.
So moved. We got
seconded.
Okay, we got a motion and seconded. Roundabout way, but we got it made.
They're done.
And this would be a voice vote also, so any discussion anymore? Hearing none. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed, same sign. Motion carries.
Perfect.
Thank you, Gary.
Oh. Question.
Yeah.
Item number 6 is talking about setbacks.
Yeah.
First Street.
Yeah.
Have property on First Street, is that something you should stick around for?
If you'd like to. We could certainly switch the two around if you're okay with
sure,
that, and we could have that discussion if you. Yeah.
No, you can bring that up first.
Would you like to do that?
Here, you
switch around.
Yeah, let's go ahead and switch that. We'll come up with setbacks of our First Street. She's got some information for us.
That's nice.
Very good.
I can see it on my phone.
So, First Street setbacks. The purpose for this discussion. The request for this discussion came from the Board of Zoning Appeals. They have traditionally granted variances along First Street for development, mostly because of right-of-way acquisition along First Street from when First Street was widened. Where do I want to go with this next?
Yeah.
There's a lot of different things.
I should have taped your first in there, because it did really well. Maybe.
Yeah, that would have been good. So from a zoning ordinance standpoint, any general business or commercial site is required to have 15-foot setbacks from right-of-way. So if any property line is along a street, you have to be 15 feet back from the right-of-way, or 10 feet setbacks from an interior lot line. So a rear or a side yard lot line. From there, the Board of Zoning Appeals has certain findings, like a conditional use permit or plan review, that have to be made in order for them to approve a variance. And so often when they make those findings for the First Street variances for parking setbacks, that acquisition of the right-of-way becomes the unique circumstance for these properties, because the width of them east and west, the depth of those properties is shortened because of this acquisition of the right-of-way. So they have, the developers are working with a shorter lot than standard for those areas. However, the most recent variance that has been approved was for setback along Monongalia Avenue for Legacy Commons, and they allowed a 5-foot setback along that First Street property instead of 15 feet from the right-of-way. And they wanted the Board of Zone, or the Planning Commission, to simply discuss setbacks if it's something that needs to be addressed, if a change needs to happen. It's staff's strong recommendation that nothing changes. Setbacks, the setback rule is there for a reason. Setbacks serve largely as a buffer between moving traffic, park traffic, and pedestrian traffic, whether they're on bike or on foot, whatever that might look like. It allows that buffer between that vehicle traffic. It also serves as green space in the city. It serves as pervious surface to allow that water to penetrate back into the ground. And it's a way for us to have, you know, we don't really regulate how much impervious surface. We don't have a percentage for a commercial site. There's a couple in industrial that we require them to have 50% covered and no more than that. But in a commercial standpoint, if they wanted anything up to those setbacks, could be paved. And so often these variances allow them to pave even more of their lots. However, we will do as everyone wishes, and as they'd like, as you can certainly have discussion about it and what you'd like to see done with it.
15 feet from the street?
Yeah. Okay. Well, from right-of-way. So often the right-of-way, say, we'll pull up Legacy as an example here. Along Monongalia here, you have this boulevard. So the right-of-way starts, or the right-of-way ends behind the sidewalk. And then you've got the property. So it would be 15 feet back from that property line, or for them, from that end of the right-of-way.
What is the width of Highway 71, First Street, to the right-of-way?
Boy, that's a good question.
I know they've acquired land in the
yep.
past.
Yep. A lot of this acquisition, I think the acquisition along First Street for this particular property varied from 5 to 10 feet.
Is that most of the businesses there?
Yeah, the majority, most of First Street has right-of-way acquisition up in this area from the city from when it expanded a couple decades ago. So it's very common practice to see that variance come before the Board of Zoning Appeals, and it makes sense for that to stay in that manner because it is that unique circumstance. But if you go to a general business zone, say along Highway 12, there's no reason for them to, I mean, there's no right, their parcels were created and the right-of-way was already there. Their parcels aren't any smaller because of right-of-way acquisition like they are in these couple cases.
So, go ahead, John.
Are you talking about both building setback and parking setback, or are you just talking?
We're talking mostly, we're talking parking lot setback.
Yeah. Yep. What about side setback?
From the street.
Yep, from the right-of-way.
From the right-of-way.
From the right-of-way. Yeah. So, right-of-way often...
From the right-of-way, not from the street.
Yeah. Okay. Yep.
Not from the curb.
Sorry. Yep. I'm still quite a virgin.
I'm right there with you. It's okay.
You mentioned to me, Sarah, that the zoning board has approved to move that 10-foot setback on the avenues to 5-foot already? Did you say that?
Not for all avenues, just for this property.
One, just for this property.
Yep. So they had a second variance come before them from Legacy for an avenue parking setback, which is not something that we've really seen. We haven't really seen that sort of variance come before the board before, and consequently, we haven't seen that sort of variance approved. There, you can certainly go up and down First Street and find some grandfathered in situations where that parking is right up to the property line.
Yeah.
But those were built prior to zoning ordinance standards.
Yeah. When back a number of years ago when I was on the zoning, we dealt with the Bethesda, last Bethesda addition on it.
Mm-hmm.
And they wanted a 5-foot setback from the property line.
Mm-hmm.
For parking.
Yep.
Which, and they wanted to put the curb right on that 5 foot.
Yep.
Which meant, depending on if people drive in or back in, the car is hanging over, can be hanging over the curb.
Mm-hmm.
You know, a couple 2-3 feet.
Right.
And once the sidewalk is built there, the people walking on the sidewalk are just about to the point of, you know, if a pickup backs into that.
You have a big hitch
you're
hitting the hedge.
Yeah. I'm surprised 5 foot is pretty narrow.
Yeah.
So I think that it should just stay the 10 feet just for that purpose, just with the people you see walking on the street.
Right now
it's
at 15, right?
15 from right of way, 10 feet from side and rear setbacks.
Okay.
Yeah.
Got it.
So
I see no reason to change
that.
Yeah.
What about where you have that corner lot? You have 10 feet on each side because you've got a frontage on both streets.
Yep. So in this case, Legacy has these two now, as we all know. So this would be a 15-foot setback here as well as from here. And so that's what this situation is here. It's 15 feet from right-of-way here, 15 feet from right-of-way here, but they've been allowed about 5 on each side.
Even on the First Street?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Did you say most of First Street's like a 5 foot, would you say?
Yeah.
And it's just because of the way.
Yep. You can see on the parcels here, these little slivers right in front of all of this, where like the sidewalk is or something like that. That was all
right
of way acquisition from existing parcels that the city has acquired.
Yeah. And what's the argument to move it? Is there any arguments?
Basically that the Board of Zoning Appeals has approved all of these variances that they've seen.
And we can't just go back and unapprove these things, right? Yeah.
They're a quasi-judicial board, staff cannot make any recommendation what they choose to do. We can, you know, present facts and give them all of the information, but ultimately they have to make the findings, they have to make an argument for why they've found those findings or why they haven't, and then deny or approve a variance from there.
This is an informational discussion and we'd share what we think.
Yeah, unless, I mean, if it was the commission's desire to entertain a text amendment, then we could work on that. Definitely not necessary.
These requests are coming basically because these people are squeezed to get so many parking spots in there.
Yeah, so many
parking
spots in there.
So they're trying to get every inch that they can.
Right, and you know, part of the argument is that you know the size of the lot that you're developing on, and therefore you should be developing a building that can accommodate that site. You know, so if you know that you need X amount of parking spaces, then you need, you know, such a size of a building to accommodate that site.
When Legacy came to us, we were concerned about the lack of parking spots, but I don't remember anything in their plan that showed any parking up pointing up towards First Street. Most of it was back towards the building. So they must have changed something after they came to us. The way I recall it.
Well, they come to us, and then we went back and said they had to come back with a different plan for their parking.
Yeah.
Didn't we do that? I wasn't involved in the second one. I was involved in the first one. I was going on.
The original plan review that the commission approved in September of last year, I listened to that entire discussion because the uses for the building hadn't been officially nailed down. The commission felt that the parking, if Legacy felt that the parking that they had on site was adequate for their development, then that's what their need was, and they were good. They didn't need more parking other than the variance for the First Street stuff.
But they had a
and then they
parking
came back
layout as part of their plan. Is that
yeah, the new parking, the new, what am I trying to get to here? The new site, the new parking layout has about 10 extra spaces.
Does that include those houses that were?
No.
No.
Have the decisions been consistent?
Yes. Yep. Except for this avenue setback, that's a new thing. But the First Street, and really we feel that that is an adequate variance request, a reasonable variance request when you have one of those First Street properties that had that right-of-way acquisition.
I would agree with that.
I mean, there's not 10 tons of them. There are several sites along First Street, obviously, but overall, if you take Wilmer as a whole, there's not, I mean, it's a fraction of the general business area.
And I don't think you'd want to make it a uniform lesser.
Well, I don't know if it should be uniform or not.
Well, that's the purpose of the variance, to take it by a case by case.
Is that the one we looked at?
This is the original one. This is the original
okay.
one that was approved.
I didn't remember that. along the front there.
Yep. So this required setbacks, and their original site had 15-foot setbacks along that side.
And that's changed now?
Yes. So this is now what this was the variance that was approved. So it was anywhere from 5 feet to 1 foot. Or no, 10 feet, sorry. I misspoke. 10 feet to 5 feet. This is their new site. So this entire area will be paved now. So this is going to be five-foot setbacks here. And then they'll park. This will still be 10.
All that shaded area is paved.
Yep. So basically the entire site is paved versus this original site.
Where does their stormwater go?
They are going to have a retention pond or a holding tank underneath the parking.
Parking lot?
Yep. Okay. But that is why Board of Zoning Appeals wanted you to entertain the setback was because some of these sites along First Street do have that different situation, but as it's been brought up, it in the case, if we keep it as is, it gets taken on a case-by-case situation, and the rules are altered as necessary.
What was the case-by-case, I think?
What was the percentage of permeable surface to impermeable again?
There isn't a requirement.
There's not a requirement. Okay.
No,
nope,
not
a,
in this case.
No, okay.
Yep.
In a industrial, but not.
And in an I-2 zone, it's 50%, I believe.
Yes. Okay.
Yep, but not in a general business. There's no limit.
That request came from the variance board.
Zoning appeals
yeah. Asked just for First Street.
Yeah,
setback discussion,
you know,
yeah.
I know they had to go back twice on that one, and they were looking for a way not to have to
yes.
make such a narrow.
So they've already approved
frontage.
That.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yep, that's
so
a done deal.
We don't give them any kind of motion or anything. We just
no,
have to give them a...
You just decide if you would like to...
Leave it the way it
leave
is.
Leave it as is, or if you'd like to see something change.
And then we have to go to the text amendment?
Yeah.
Right.
If we leave it like it is, they just change whatever
they change
want.
They change it when they variance, yeah.
Yeah.
They'll go case by case.
Do you have any situations where they've changed the frontage just for specific locations within the city that suffer from this kind of a situation, like First Street where they were?
You could certainly, well, yeah, we have one right now. We vary the requirement for setbacks in a central business district. In this case, we would probably draft some sort of text amendment that specifically called out properties directly abutting First Street from such and such an avenue to such and such an avenue, and just call out those specific, one specific area where that setback changes. I would say that it's still staff recommendation for nothing to change.
So this is going, this is gonna almost look like when you park at El Tapatio and the chiropractor's office right there.
Mm-hmm.
It's gonna be, you pull up and there's gonna be, I don't know, is there even, I can't remember, I parked there a lot, but
well,
is there any grass?
Foot from the sidewalk,
yeah.
Sir.
Yeah. Yeah, you're not too far.
Yeah, no, Tapatio, you could drive right over the sidewalk without hitting grass.
Yeah. But that was all grandfathered in because of the...
Yep. It was all there prior to...
Yeah. At least they're going to have curb here.
Yeah. Yeah. They'll have curb here to butt up against, so...
Yeah. So...
So what's the board wish to do? Just to leave it alone, leave it the way it is, and go case by case, pretty much? Is that kind of a consensus?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
See no other reason why we should change it.
Yeah, let them do the variance.
Yep.
Yeah, I think, you know, Sarah's comment that the whole purpose of the ordinance is to force the property owner to design within it.
Yeah.
And if they can't, and if they can pass the standards, yeah, then apply for it. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay. Got that. And then we just go with that.
Very good.
All right.
Thanks.
Yep. Thanks, Gary.
Yep. See you, Gary. So, with that, we go back to number 5.
Yes.
Auto salvage text amendment discussion. Now, this is something we discussed.
A couple months ago. Several months ago.
Run it up the flagpole.
Yes. staff has been approached, continued to be approached by City Line Towing to allow a salvage use at their current location. On.
Just right by Domino's.
Back behind Domino's.
On Pacific Avenue.
Benson Avenue. On the corner of Benson Avenue and 6th Street Southeast. They have a fence that kind of outlines this brownish area here. And then they actually own these two parcels and this empty parcel here as well. They have a fence. The fence has been fully finished, closed off. They had some cars outside of the fence that have been moved back into the fence. And that's kind of where they're at right now. They would still like to do the salvage business here. Their plans are to build a building within the fence and keep all activity within the building.
In that existing fence?
In that existing fence.
Well,
they
not,
might.
They're not going to fence the whole.
I'm not sure if they would like to extend the fence. I could see them probably wanting to extend it, being that they own all of that property. But I'm not sure what portion of that, or if it would be all or less than. Again, the zoning for this area, I'll just bring it up here. Residential along Highway 12, Litchfield Avenue there. And then we kind of do a tiered general business and then industrial. So they're right here in the corner, sandwiched between the two. And he does have the fence. So the thought would be, we don't think that a rezone would be an appropriate way to go about this because of its, because having that residential and industrial use proximity. So the next option would be to entertain a text amendment for an auto salvage business in a general business zone. It would be staff recommendation that it would be a conditional use permit, that this use would never be allowed on a collector or an arterial street, that it would all be have to be kind of this back road secondary minor street location for a general business zone. And everything would have to be enclosed, so yeah. Within a building. Nothing could be outside, out in the open, or so anything like that.
So in other words, they can't be out there with their cutting torch, torching something in their yard. They got to bring it inside the
yep.
building.
Yep. Salvage activity would happen in an enclosed area, screened off from everything else.
You know, the size of that lot, they can't do a whole lot of salvage business on it.
What do you say?
Yeah, because the cars
based upon the size,
there,
it's small.
How they're going to put a building there
and then put the,
last time I looked, that lot was pretty full just with cars.
It is pretty full of cars
and
right now,
building's going to have some square footage to...
Yeah, and I mean, he's got room to expand. He certainly could take more advantage. He's got probably double there what he's got fenced. At least.
Yeah, you'd think he'd want to put the building on the bigger lot or move it.
Yeah.
The building on a small lot, move and put the fence around the bigger
is
lot.
Is there any limitation to his hours of operation?
That certainly could be.
Because I wouldn't want that guy behind me if I lived in the house. Or
cars on.
I would completely agree with that.
You change the ordinance. I mean, these might be popping up anywhere.
Uh-huh. Right. His.
And I look at that kind of a business as needing some square footage.
Right.
Yep.
Yeah, it's like industrial park sort of stuff. I mean, right.
As it stands,
salvage is allowed in an industrial zone only. His argument is that we believe that we might have some auto businesses in town doing salvage work, kind of behind the scenes. You can't fully regulate it. It's one of those creative issues that still need to be solved.
And
he wants to go through the proper channels and do all of that.
He needs to supply that information so it can be enforced.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yep.
I mean, that you can't just hang that out there.
Citizens have a duty.
And there's houses on three sides of that lot.
Mm-hmm. And the bare lot that he owns on Highway 12, that's still zoned residential, isn't it?
Yep. Yeah,
and he's not going to be doing any of that in that lot.
No.
With two houses.
There's a for sale sign on that lot, so I'm not quite sure. I've seen online that it's advertised as all three of them are for sale. I'm not quite sure what the status of that is. But from our standpoint, by no means would that lot be used for this.
Which
particular
are up for sale?
At one point when I looked, all three of these were
for sale.
Jane Biskey's.
Okay.
That one.
This
that
one in between. If I turn this off, it's an empty lot right now.
Yeah.
This one and then these two corner ones.
Okay.
He's in that brown spot.
Yep. So this brown spot is where his fence is.
Now. Yeah.
Yep. He had some cars out here.
Yeah.
We got him to move him back in.
Yep, I saw those.
Now, potentially, he could build a building
that
and put up an auto repair business right there and do salvage work in his building.
See, and that's what he's arguing, that is a pretty common thing happening around town, I think. And so his...
He won't set precedences. That's what I heard all day today. Doesn't matter what the other guy does. You don't set precedence.
Years ago, the old Calls Auto Park was out there where North American Bank is. Yeah, I remember that. They never hardly did anything in the building. They were out in the back cutting them scrapping them out right there.
You wanted something to go out there with you.
And I worked at Swanky Tractor and Truck, and they did a lot of things with trucks. I don't even want to talk about it.
But this is maybe... tad bit off that subject, but as far as this specific purpose, I think I mentioned last time when we talked about it, that residential vacant lot, that I believe that there's no way, shape, or form that they should be trying to turn that into an entrance or an exit off of Litchfield Avenue.
They would have to get
I could see him trying it. That's what
he asked me about it at one point, but to get... Being that there's a street right here,
mm-hmm.
and that you can access this from back here, I don't foresee him being allowed a curb cut there anyway, for that particular use. I want to make one note from a zoning standpoint, from a land use standpoint. I know that there are some residential buildings and residential uses north of him and east of him as well. Right. We do, from a zoning standpoint, we look at what it's zoned as. So kind of similar to the daycare center in the industrial park situation that we had, where there is some residential in that area, and if you look at the land, it might make sense. But from a zoning standpoint, that's not the intention of that area. So the intention of this area is to have that gradient from residential to general business to industrial, even though his property is surrounded on three sides by residential currently. Just to...
What's staff's recommendation again for this?
Sure,
yeah. I'm just curious.
Just gonna
I like the idea of having everything enclosed.
Yep.
That'd be the only reason I would say.
I think staff's recommendation is if anything is to be allowed, it would be a very strict, very specific, very controlled situation.
Like. Times of day needs to stop.
And that's something that the commission can set, because it can, being a conditional use permit, you can set as many conditions as you feel necessary.
So you would say go ahead with a conditional use permit with conditions on that use of property.
Yep. And
not turning it, not rezoning it, or not returning it.
Not rezoning it. Yeah. No, it would be to do the conditional use permit. We would make specific caveats, like we did in the central business district for a primary multi-dwelling family unit building, that they would have to require parking. In this situation, we would specifically call out that it would have to be enclosed. It has to be in that secondary minor street area.
What on Terry's point? Well, what precedent are we going to set if we allow this and it may pop up in another spot?
But his argument makes no sense, excuse me, because you guys, we don't permit car fix-it places to do salvage. So, I mean, he can't use that as an argument.
Right.
It's just, the fact they do it doesn't make it right, you know. So.
It should be.
And they are, that those are situations that we are trying to address.
And it seems like he put the cart before the horse here. He went and bought the property and is now trying to put a salvage thing on it.
Yeah, but now he's trying to sell it too, isn't he? Was it for sale at one point?
He was an optimistic buyer.
Did you look it up?
Yeah. Well, I've got it zoned now, zoning layer here.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Sort of like that purchase offer at the daycare center.
Which I had another discussion about today.
So you've got.
I mean, basically, I would come down to one.
So
I'll do what you guys tell me to do.
Well, it sounds like he got into towing and then is finding himself with a number of forfeitures.
He's sold now, though, right? Ed's bought him, I think.
That's what I thought.
Ed's service center bought City Line Towing.
Oh.
Really?
Ed's did?
That's what I heard, yeah.
They bought what?
Wow.
Ed's service center bought that City Line Towing.
Probably been like 6 months ago or
Ed's
something like
that. Oh, you know, I just saw that, too. Yeah, I just saw it on a truck.
They're not labeling it.
Ed's service center on the north side bought City Line Towing several months ago. Because I remember one of the guys saying, he works for this morning. I come to work for Ed's.
Well, he was a former Ed's employee and started that, and then Ed's turned around and
bought him back. Interesting. The last time that this discussion was brought up to the commission, you guys basically said no until we get more detail. Mm-hmm. We've never seen a site plan. He's discussed with us general ideas that that it's going to be enclosed. I can continue to pass along that desire if that's something the commission would like to see before a text amendment is,
I think that'd be good. There's no
gone through the channels.
All riled up to say, nope, they're not going to do anything to me. Well, let's listen to what he has to say, and then He's not even here.
But so. That's the thing, is it's been heard twice now, and he's never been here.
Yep.
Yeah, if you're serious, then come show.
Come
or have a plan.
Show us.
Yeah.
Have a plan.
Have something in place.
So if he's already sold out to Ed's, I mean, he's not going to be towing there. He's going to be salvaging cars.
Well, but that's maybe why he's trying to hurry up and do this. You know.
Yep. If a text amendment was the desire and the direction we'd like to go, this discussion would have to continue regardless. No decision is going to be made tonight. So whatever happens, we will see this again, if more than likely, I would say we will see this a third time at least. So
do we have any action on that tonight or nothing?
So no action. If you would like to see him appear with some plans, and stuff, I can relay that message. If we'd like to entertain the text amendment, I can work on drafting that. If we'd like both, we can do both.
Whichever. Think we should hold off on a text amendment draft until we see some kind of plan.
If he's going to come, he needs to bring a just a scribbled up piece of paper. Right?
Yep.
He needs to bring us something.
Some site plans.
What is his anticipated volume of cars running through there? Where is he going to store them? You know, he gets a dozen cars there, and he doesn't have any space for anything. They're going to be out on the street.
Well, my other thought is, if you even set hours from 8 to 5, he's going to show up at 10 o'clock at night and unload a car off a flatbed when everybody's trying to go to bed.
Right.
You know.
Because he went out and picked it up in an accident site or whatever.
It's just not a good area.
It's just not the size either that you would expect.
But like we talked about calls last time, that ground out there was just a mess.
Saturated mess.
If he starts, even the cars that he's hauling in now have been involved with accidents, and most of them are leaking fluids of one sort or another. Just going to make it worse for an environmental?
But I think there.
But I don't know if you can
deal
with
that. At a minimum, you'd make them pave the whole area so that you have some sort of cap for that reasonable.
That could be another condition.
Absolutely.
Make enough conditions to make it difficult to do it. Honestly.
I agree.
That's right.
I think we can, because of just that's my opinion.
Mm-hmm. Yep. If it's going to be a conditional use permit, and you feel that those things are all necessary for that use, by all means, you can
require. Because it's residential, that's my take on it. Residential shouldn't be.
I would even tend to say no if he was even across the street. In the industrial
across part. The street, technically speaking, as it stands, he can submit plans. It is a use in the list of I2 allowable things.
How do we get that changed?
Those are just too small lots.
I still hold out hope that someday that East End entrance into town will clean itself.
And that was kind of the consensus of that last discussion we had too.
Get that.
It's not where you want.
And all of a sudden, you're hoping that you're someday going to clean it up, but then you just allow it a scrap yard, right?
Yeah, nobody's going to tear down some houses to put up a eating place right there by the scrap yard.
But I mean, that's the worst entrance we got in there.
The consensus is that he has to come to us with some type of plan.
Okay.
That's what I agree with.
Yep. Very good.
Okay. If he gives you some piece of paper, tell him that's not.
Yeah, tell him to let it be a nice drawing.
Okay. We want something official and formal.
Yeah.
Not on a cocktail napkin.
Not on a cocktail napkin. Especially from Foxhole. Okay.
Miscellany.
One miscellany. In regards to Dairy Queen.
In regards to the new First Street Dairy Queen. I have drafted a letter for Dairy Queen just to update everyone. That fence is still not up. I have heard no word on timeline. I've heard rumor that there's still some stormwater piping and different things that need to take place there. But I have not been relayed a timeline on anything. I have not been given any sort of information on that. Back in a year ago, August 9th, 2017, nearly, the commission required that fence to be put up prior to a building permit being issued. So here we are with Dairy Queen running and no fence. So we are giving him through July 31st to get that fence up. And if it's not, we will pursue it further.
What's the next course of action?
Read that, maybe? Yep. The city has received...
Order to tear the building.
Tear the building down.
Tear the building down. Oh, my. That would be a mess. That would be a mess.
So was he working with Quick Trip on that?
Yeah, it is a joint,
that's a joint
stormwater venture.
So is that potentially get him and Quick Trip are going to make that once Quick Trip's all done, maybe? Is that
the that's what I was thinking.
I was wondering there. If that's...
Because there were some coordinated plans
supposed
to be.
Lot,
they were talking quite a bit with each other.
But that was for the road.
Yeah, I'm not sure. I haven't heard anything.
I thought that was for the road. Terry, I'm wondering if I thought it was the road.
Yeah, there's... let me scroll down there. They've got some.
That's irrelevant anyway if we because told them
both,
they had to do this
they're
before.
They're both kind of sharing that stormwater pond.
Yeah. Yep, they're both sharing the stormwater pond, and then they've got this shared access.
Okay.
They had to dike that up right away because the people that came had just got flooded out.
Are
so
they getting flooded up. Now? Are they good?
Well, I think they got the dirt pushed. They got a pile of dirt up against those people's yards. But
well, that old pond's filled in now. The pond's now behind Quick Trip.
Yeah, pretty much so.
They moved it north.
And everything's going in there and not the backyard, right?
Well,
fingers crossed.
Well, the same thing was made for Quick Trip as far as getting getting
so the
screening
same,
up against the residential. Yeah.
Yep, the same letter that I'll send to... Mr. Getzman, I'll send to Quick Trip as well.
Good.
Have you heard any complaints from the neighbors?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Myself and Megan DeShep are included. So, I've been informed.
They're flooding still, or what's going on?
No, the complaints that the fence isn't there.
The silt fence is still up.
The silt fence is still up. There's some, I need to include the mowing. We'll add mowing in here.
Well, yeah, there's got to be a lot of stuff going on, even at Dairy Queen at here under the summer all night. But once Quick Trip gets there, it's going to be a busy place.
Yes, that whole area will pick up, I think.
And they're moving on that building.
When we approved that site with Dairy Queen, you weren't on this, were you?
I was
on board then?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yep. He was
all you guys were on?
All of us.
Jerry
were on.
Wasn't.
Jerry for
was
Jerry.
Jerry
oh,
was
really?
Yeah.
I didn't think it was that long ago. I mean, after he got all done and I drove over there and I drove on that road that was back in there, I went, wow, that got really close to that house.
Yeah.
Well, get the fence up.
That's the same. That there's a what? How lot? That outlot D is like 10 feet wide. It runs parallel. It runs beside the house.
This one, yeah.
Right there,
that's what I'm talking about.
And that one, that's their property, so Dairy Queen should be mowing that. They can't assume that it's that homeowner's mow.
They aren't maintaining it at all.
No, but because the silt fence is still there.
I have talked to Dan at one point. He was talking about selling or doing something with some of these back, those back little pieces and kind of
where's the fence
deeding them
to
off. The fence, there's really not. You could argue it either way. As long as there's fencing up between the two uses, I don't have a problem with if he would rather put it along the road instead of right up against the residential property lines. From my standpoint, I don't see a problem with that because it would serve its purpose of that screening. So it's up to him whether he wants to, what he wants to do with these back pieces.
Have to be able to plow that road though.
It has to be an attractive fence that we.
Yep.
Fence
or tree.
It'll be like a vinyl.
Good.
Whiter.
Razor wire on the top.
Dark brown.
I assume that all that would be all up when the Quick Trip is all done. That's what I thought, but.
Yeah.
You're right. He should have had that done.
Probably
before.
Even
scratch
put
that.
The fence up against the road, he's still got to get mowing equipment behind that.
Behind, unless he chooses, unless those parcels.
Those people aren't going to buy those lots.
Don't become his responsibility anymore. But, yes.
You give,
he would
give it to him.
Lifetime dilly bars.
Yeah.
Trade you.
Steve would act on that right away. Yeah. Lifetime dilly bars. Let's do it.
Very good.
Okay.
Well, so that's where that's at.
So
you're
going to
send
a letter to Quick Trip as well?
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Okay.
Yep. Letter will be sent to Quick Trip and to Dan. for that situation.
It's just telling them until they got till when? July 31st?
July 31st.
Are you
I was
going to
do next Friday, but Bruce requested July 31st.
What's the next step then if they don't do anything? What's on the, is there a step on, okay, if they're not doing this, then we're going to do that?
It'll be forwarded to the city attorney.
Gotcha.
Is generally the next step.
Okay.
So.
When those two house moves left the legacy.
Yep.
To do that, we put a
4 month requirement.
4 month, and there was a $5,000 bond.
$3,000 each, so there was $6,000 total.
Okay. Yep. Whatever the dollar amount was, mm-hmm. and that was incentive to get them to get it done within the time frame.
Yep.
Is that something that's available to use on situations like this where you set, or was that why? That's the only one I remember any kind of a dollar amount being set to the circumstances.
Oh, you mean require some sort of?
I mean,
I would.
I don't want know if we want to start doing that to everybody, but stuff like
right some in the major development.
Ones we don't like.
I'm sure glad you did.
It's a very effective.
Now we're back to the South.
You'd have to have some.
I apologize.
I didn't say it, Jerry. You don't have to apologize to me. No, I just was wondering if that, how come that was done in that situation, but
right, and
I
not
haven't seen
in,
it used
in,
before where
yeah.
we've set conditions.
Let me check the ordinance. I want to say that it's specifically called out in the ordinance that you can do that in a house move situation, and I think that's why. Okay. But that might be something to entertain that a condition could
them,
be.
Does it hasten them getting done what they're supposed to get done?
Often the money or the bond put down is in the situation that the developer decides not to move forward or some sort of issue arises where the job isn't going to be complete. Then we'll take that money and hire somebody or okay. finish the work.
So they
it's more of a security for us to make sure that the work is complete.
End up paying for it anyway.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So.
Okay.
Anything else?
We have any other nothing.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, but you gotta finish those too while you're doing that.
So I'll entertain a motion for adjournment.
So moved.
Got a second? Okay. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, same sign.